It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The coaching perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you here today in the studio, and welcome to our episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm Doug Gefeller, your host. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Orange County, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, we have an exciting guest for you here today. Our guest is Patty Grimm. She is president of Advantage Performance and Training Limited. She's an author, speaker, leadership, team, and change management leader. And she's going to be talking to us about her new book, Quiet Women Never Change History, Be Strong, Stand Out, and Stand Up. And if you read the newsletter that went out, I kind of screwed that up. I said, quiet women never made history. Well, that's wrong. She's saying they never change history. So, Patty, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thanks, Doug, and I'm really excited to be here.
Oh,
it's great to
so
see
glad.
You again.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, I had the opportunity to meet Patty at the Orange County Speakers Network meeting,
yep.
And we kind of connected and talked, and then the day that she actually agreed to do the show, she sent me an email and said, I just wrote the last word in my book, and it's off to the publisher.
Exactly.
You were dancing on the roof that day, I think.
I was dancing on the roof. I couldn't believe it. I thought the last word, the last paragraph, the last sentence, it felt like it was on Independence Day. So July 4th was my Independence Day.
So this is kind of a tease for you in the audience, because you can't buy the book yet. It'll be a little while before it's available.
The fall.
Okay, the fall. But, hey, you can be one of the first to know all about it and get to meet Patty. So, Patty, let's talk a little bit before we get to the book, and which is exciting, but let's talk a little bit about you. What did you do? Give us a little bit about your past.
Yeah. I always say, I even start out the book with, I started out in sort of your typical middle-class family. I was a middle child in a middle-class family with a mom who would stay at home and a dad who worked the same job for 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Middle America.
Just middle-class, Wheeling, West Virginia. My mother's a coal miner's daughter, so I'm a coal miner's granddaughter, I guess. We moved to California when I was quite young. And I was lucky to be raised by a family where my mother raised me with a lot of tenacity and a lot of persuasiveness and a lot of really good values and skills, and she really taught me a lot of things, but really the person that really impacted my life was my dad, because he really taught me from the time I was young I could do anything I put my mind to, and I could do anything as good as any boy. So I really grew up sort of a tomboy. So as I got through high school and college, I was always involved in sports. I played tennis. One of my favorite stories I told at my father's funeral was I started playing tennis at 7 years old. And at about 8 years old, my dad was trying to teach me how to play net. So in tennis, you either play back or you play net. And I wouldn't play net because I was afraid of getting hit. So my dad's way of teaching me to play net was he tied a rope to the net, a rope to my waist, had a bucket of balls. I was 8 years old, and he hit balls at me until I would stand at the net and defend myself. So today that would be child abuse.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But to me, that was love.
And that is a fine line, isn't it?
That is a fine line. That is a fine line. So once I graduated from college, I graduated from high school at 16. I graduated from college relatively early. I graduated with a degree in education because I wanted to teach. I wanted to help change people's lives and help them be the best they could be by teaching. Well, after I got laid off the first year because of a regulation that passed, I had no job. So I'm 21 years old, no job, college degree. I went to my godfather, who worked for Bank of America, and said, I need a job. So I fell into banking, but I fell in love with it. And I managed to work my way up to why I was a vice president of First Interstate by the time I was 26. Very successful career, had a consulting company, worked for Microsoft for 15 years, had a very successful career there, until I hit the wall, which is why I wrote the book.
The wall. This is the glass ceiling wall,
this is the wall? This was the wall. It wasn't quite the glass ceiling, because I had plenty of opportunity. What happened is I had basically gotten to a point where I was working probably 70 to 80 hours a week. I worked every night and every weekend. I would get up at 6 in the morning, do email, go to work, work all day, come home, have dinner, do email till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I went from being highly productive, highly energized, super effective, to after about a year or so, I started to really struggle, and I could feel myself falling off the mountain. I was top of the corporate ladder, and I could feel myself sliding down, and I couldn't stop myself. And people would ask me what I did on the weekends, and all I could say is I worked. I lost sense of my family. I lost sense of my vision. I lost sense of everything around me that I enjoyed doing because all I did was work.
So you were committed to your career. That's who you were.
That's who I was. I was completely committed to my career.
And what did this do to your family?
Well, you know, I luckily...
You were sharing with me.
Luckily I had a wonderful husband that when I was working so hard, my son was about 5 years old, he left the corporate world and became Mr. Mom. And so he was taking care of raising our son most of the time. And I was on the road almost every week. At one point, I traveled between L.A. and Seattle every week for 5 years on an airplane.
I went from Orange County to L.A. for 5 years, and I thought it was brutal.
Yeah. And so when I finally started to hit that wall, I could feel myself slipping. And I thought, what is going on with me? And I started to lose my hair. I started to not be able to be as productive at work. I would come in every day and put on the happy face. And I was absolutely miserable inside. And so I kept going to see doctor after doctor, and they kept saying, you've got chronic fatigue. You're close to depression. If you don't do something, the job's going to kill you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
So, but you listened.
But I listened. I finally went to one doctor, a woman psychiatrist, who sat me down and gave me some tests and asked me to answer some questions. And she sat me down and said, you're on a medical leave of absence for the next 4 months. You are not to go back to the office. You are not to call anybody. I will take care of it. You're on a leave of absence. You are close to depression, and if you don't do something, you're going to die.
Wow.
So I really wrote the book to help women avoid the fall or recognize it soon enough that they pull themselves out.
Okay. I have to ask. So you left the doctor's office, went home, 4 months at home away from your dedicated career. How did you handle that?
Well, here's what I did. First, I cried all the way home. I got home. I was in such hysterics crying. My husband couldn't understand what I was saying because I was the income earner.
Yeah.
You know, he was coaching football, high school football, but that didn't bring in a lot of money. So I was the income earner. So I was crying. He says, we will figure it out. Here's what I did, though. I wasn't supposed to go back to the office. I immediately got home and calmed down. I called my boss.
Exactly what you weren't supposed to do.
I was working on a project for a big conference. We have a big worldwide conference, and I was doing a video project that I had to finish the editing on. So I was sneaking into Microsoft Studio, editing this video, and I had my manager meet me there so I could go through all of my projects, where they were, what needed to be done, who could handle it, and I decided I was going to listen to people, and I took care of myself. I went to see the doctors. They put me on depression medication at one point, but I was so scared of taking them because of all those commercials you see.
Sure.
I believed everything, right?
Yeah.
I was going to die if I took this stuff. So I ended up doing most of what the doctor said. I did a lot of personal journaling. I figured out my personal vision again, and I went and saw a coach. I went to see a business coach who helped me through of, what's your choice after the 4 months? You're going to go back to Microsoft in the same job? Are you going to take a different job at Microsoft? Or are you going to leave? And she helped me through that process. And so I put some of that in the book about women who are making difficult career choices about, do I want to do door number one? Like, let's make a deal. Door number two or door number three. And then how do you make that choice? And then once you make it, how do you communicate that to people?
Wow, that is a dramatic turnaround.
Yeah.
Definitely. Any regrets?
Any regrets? You know what? I believe things happen for a reason, and I don't blame Microsoft or any of the people I worked for, anybody. I don't blame people for what happened to me. I let this happen to myself. And so my book is really about, if you're feeling like this as a woman, how can you get yourself out of it sooner? How do you recognize the signs? What steps could you be taking throughout your career to prevent this from ever happening to you? Right. My personal vision is to make a difference and empower people to reach their full potential. And so I think my book, in a way, is doing that for women.
Okay. So before we get into the book, you're doing a number of other things besides being an author and writing a book.
Right, right.
You have I have not gotten it straight in my head yet, sort of a smorgasbord of businesses going here.
I do.
Share that with us.
So my main business is I have a company called Advantage Performance and Training, and I teach customized workshops to leaders or teams to help them improve their performance, their productivity, and profitability. So I have a client that right now I'm working with them. I'm developing a leadership program for their senior executives, and it'll be a series of 3 half-day sessions we'll do around their vision, their strategy, how they're going to work together better as a team, because if your top leadership team doesn't work together well, you can't expect the rest of the organization to role model
right.
the bad behavior. So they've got to behave correctly as they go. And then we'll do that for the next level of leaders. We'll have how to coach people, how to give good feedback, how to lead your people through change. So I have the whole set of leadership modules, and then the same with teams. How do you bring together an intact work team and develop a team vision? How the team's going to work together, run effective team meetings, how do you avoid conflict in the team, how do you bring out the best of everybody's style on the team so you have a diverse team where you're giving all the talents you need, because a team with all one style isn't an effective team.
Right.
It's going to be completely off balance. So how do you work with those people that are different from you? And so I teach workshops for how to do that.
Okay, so that's your performance training business.
Right.
What else do you do?
Well, I do speaking and webinars and conferences, but I also have this new business, crazy business I started up of selling stuff on Amazon with pet products. That's something my husband and I are doing. So I'm still crazy workaholic.
Let's see. Have you really been cured?
You know what? What I've done is I've managed to balance out things. I've managed to really figure out how I stay true to my vision. So one of the things in my book, in the section about stand out, is you've got to have a personal vision as a leader, and as a woman leader in particular. What is it you stand for? What's important to you? If someone was going to write an article about you in your favorite magazine 5 years from now as a leader, what do you want that to say?
Okay. You just took us into my
yep.
my next question, and I ask every guest this question. What's your guiding principle? What is it that's sort of true north for you that keeps you squared away?
My real true north is making a difference and empowering people to be the best that they can be. And when I've worked on consulting projects, or when I worked for the companies I've worked for, when I've worked in teams where I had an opportunity to really make a difference and help people be the best they could be, I've excelled. The times I'd either took a job assignment because it maybe had a title, or I took a consulting job just for the money where I knew I would never make a difference, it was miserable. And I'll give you two examples. One of them was when I worked for Microsoft. I had a chance to either go to Eastern Europe and help head up what was called their business excellence team, or go to the Asia region and head up their customer service and partners experience team. And I was going through, do I go to Europe or do I go to Asia? And when I looked at where I could make the biggest difference, it was in Asia. So I moved to Singapore for 3 years, and I managed 13 countries from China to India, Australia, New Zealand, Phuket, Bali, Malaysia, every place you can imagine in Asia, because I had a chance to make a difference. Europe had so many resources. I would have been a little teeny difference in a small puddle. In Asia, they thought I walked on water when I walked into a subsidiary because I was there to help them. And that fulfilled my vision. That fulfilled my dream. That keeps me going right.
Okay.
The one time in my consulting business, a large utility company in LA, I won't say who, contacted me to do some management training for their managers. Great project, could have been a lot of money. And as we're going through the RFP process, we're in this panel where you go in as a consultant, and you've got to do your spiel. You've got to present your company, what you're going to do, and how you're going to help them. And I kept asking the question of the panelists, which was the executives, what will you do to change in order for this training I'm doing to make a difference? Otherwise, the training's a waste of money.
Right.
You're going to train people to do things that they're not rewarded to do, and you're going to coach them to do the opposite. That's ridiculous. It's a waste of money and time, and you're just going to make your people angry. And I kept asking the question. They could never answer it. And I finally said, okay, stop. I'm not the consultant for you. I will give you the name of 5 people who will be happy to come here and do your management training for your people. But if you're not willing to change, you're wasting your money. And I walked out.
Good for you.
They called me back and said, I can't believe you did that.
And did they want you to then come in?
They wanted me to come in, and I said no.
Yeah, it wasn't the right fit.
It wasn't the right fit.
Yeah,
but wasn't the right fit.
You know, I love to hear that. I mean, people talk about it, but the fact that you took action and you stood up and stood behind.
Yeah.
That's truly the test of whether
yeah.
something really is a guiding principle for
yeah.
us or not.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, look, I want to get into your book, but before mm-hmm. we get to your book, we're going to take a quick commercial here, and then we're going to come right back and talk about your book.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. Patty, how do people get a hold of you? They're obviously fascinated by what you have to say. How do they find you?
I'm fixing my website right now. It's kind of broken at this moment, but my email is pattygrim@live.com. It's pattiegrimm@live.com. Or you can call or text me at 425-289-6619. I still have my Seattle phone number from when I worked for Microsoft, because you can't get rid of that cell phone, but I do live in South Orange County.
Okay, and Facebook, LinkedIn?
Facebook and LinkedIn, both.
All right.
Absolutely Facebook. Please, partner up with me on Facebook. I do have a profile that's from a women's group that I was one of the top executive women, so, ping me on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Great. Well, look, Patty, thank you very much for joining us today. This has been fascinating.
It's been fun.
I want to have you back and talk about the next book.
The next book, yes. The next book is called The Joys of Business Travel, Real Life Lessons from Road Warriors. It's a comedy.
It's comedy. Well, Patty, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure having you, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
It's been awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Thanks.
Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for interesting people to talk to. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with some new ideas, some new insights on the issues of women leaders in business, and given you information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.